that so much more. Amen. It's good to see everyone today. Thankful for what God is doing in spite of things that are happening in our world, in our society. God is not changed. God cannot change. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to latch on to that truth that God is the same. God never changes. God has never let anyone down. He's not about to start that. Praise God. We had a great fellowship last night with the men in the Wild Game Dinner. I looked at the audience. I think everyone that was there was here, so everything must have been cooked right. And that's always a plus. Show up the next day and everyone that was there is here. So, amen. Nothing sketchy, nothing real exotic. I didn't hear if you cook it right. So that was a plus. Amen. Brother Akeem trapped us a couple of pies. Still not sure how you do that. But whatever you said in that trap, I want to know. Because I am pro key lime pie and chocolate pie. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. I feel old today. I glanced over my left shoulder during praise service. Saw Sister Ashley, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she was in my youth group when I was a youth pastor. I think that is correct. I can't. Okay. Not trying to make you feel old. I'm wondering how I got so old. You still look about the same. I'm feeling a whole lot older. So one of those times where it feels like we've come full circle. Yeah. Amen. I believe that living for God is not just the best option. I believe it's the only option. It's the only option. Because God can do so many things in our life if we will just allow Him to. Amen. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and he spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. When I sent out my message title earlier this week for our media team, music team, the title of the message is Ai Take Two. My wife came into my office and said, "Do you need to give clarification on AI? Because with modern technology, AI is not a small city outside of Jericho." It's amazing how our language and how our technology changes so fastly. So I was not sure if I would have a robot on the back of the wall today, or a computer monitor making scary sounds. But this is not AI, artificial intelligence. This is AI, the small city outside of Jericho. Amen. And I believe that there are lessons to be learned. I believe that everything in the Bible is there for a purpose. I believe that, I don't believe there's idle words in the Bible. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. I believe it's there for a purpose. And so all of these stories are there for us to learn, or for us to avoid things in our life that happen there. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to be with us today. God, anoint your word. Anoint us to hear. Anoint me to speak. God, we will praise you and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Before AI part one, there was Jericho, and the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he promised that he had given Jericho to the children of Israel. The instructions were very simple. Ark of the Covenant was to be carried, and seven priests with seven trumpets went before the Ark of the Lord. The armed men went before the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing the seven trumpets advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the ark. While the priest continued blowing the trumpets, this went on for 6 days, one time around the mighty city. And then on the seventh day, everyone marched around the city six times. On the seventh time, they cried aloud. The people shouted because they believed that God had given them the city according to his word. And we know the result of that faith was the walls of the city collapsed. The people went into the city. They took the city. They destroyed all that was in the city. Men, women, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, they destroyed it all. And then they rejoiced in the victory that God had given them. However, I believe that a lesson that we should learn in our lives is that after our greatest victory sometimes sets us up for some defeats. Because our battle that we are fighting is not one battle. It is not just one day. It's not 1 week. It's not 1 month. It's not 1 year. But I believe it is going to be a battle until one of two things happens. The Lord returns or we pass from this earth.
Sure.
It is not a time to sit back and celebrate victories, even though I believe that we should. It is not a time to celebrate what God has done in the past, even though that is good, and I believe biblically that is necessary. But we must realize that Satan is not going to give up ground easily, and he's not going to just sit back and allow us to take his territory without a fight. So if we want to make it in the end, we are in a long-range battle, and we have to realize that it is our responsibility as Christians and people of God to keep the fight going and to keep maintaining the ground that we've taken, keep expanding our territory, keep rejoicing in the fact God, I believe, has given it to us, but we can't just sit back and relax and believe we can just kind of coast until God returns.
Sure.
I don't believe that is biblical. I don't believe that's the way it's going to work. I believe that Satan is trying his best to deceive more and more people. He is using anything that he can, and we cannot just rely on a past victory and believe God is going to do it again without us being involved and participating again. We cannot become weary in well-doing, even though that is a temptation. We cannot become tired and just realize that we're going to give up, because that I don't believe works in the kingdom of God. So after this great victory, and notice what had happened, everything is destroyed. They completely destroyed the mightiest city at that time. Everyone that was there perished except for Rahab and the people that was in her house, protected by a scarlet thread that was hanging from a window. And then notice that Joshua, when he sent the men into the house of Rahab, the two spies who were there before and had promised her that those in her house would be spared when the city was destroyed, he sent these two men back in there to bring them out. The Bible says that everything other than her home was destroyed. And the city was completely burned and destroyed, and then a curse was issued that don't build it back. Leave it. I'll try to stay on point here, but there are so many ways we can go. We have to be careful that when we win victory, it is total and complete.
Right.
Amen. You need to burn the bridges.
Right.
You need to set fire to the ships in the harbor so that the enemy knows this person has made up their mind. There is no going back. There is no plan B. There is no we can build the bridge back or maybe that ship survived. But I believe we need to completely destroy it so there is no temptation to turn around and go back.
Right. Right.
And then God spoke to Joshua and said, spare Rahab and her family, everyone that is in there. We know from the story, her house was evidently built into the wall or very close to the wall. The whole wall collapsed, everything collapsed, yet her space, her home, her abode is spared because God can do absolutely anything and he always keeps his word. So we should not worry about how it's going to happen. Just go ahead and enjoy the process that it's going to happen the way God said it was. And we don't have to figure it out. I don't have to prop it up. I don't have to supplement what God is doing. I can just step back and get out of the way with full confidence. God, if he said it, he can do it and it will happen. With or without, amen, come on, with or without someone else's approval, someone else's dedication, someone else's positive or negative influence. Let me say it that way. There are going to be some people that don't rejoice in your miracle.
That's right.
You'll learn from experience. Don't go back there and share it with them next time. But there are going to be some people that rejoice in your miracle. They rejoice in what God is doing. And when they see God blessing you, they rejoice, genuinely rejoice in your victory. That is the kind of people you need to surround yourself with. People that will help you celebrate what God has done without becoming jealous that if God did it for them, why isn't he doing it for me?
That's right. Amen.
When Rahab and those in her house walked out, I believe they saw total, complete destruction, and they realized we did the right thing by believing in the God we didn't know and believing in this lady that told us it was going to be all right. And sure enough, it worked out exactly like God said it would. All God requires of us, and I feel so strongly to stay here for just a second, all God requires from us is obedience.
That's right.
The instructions were hang the scarlet thread in the window and let it hang down and you will be protected. It was not try to figure out. It was not if you can't find a red one, blue is close enough. It was not try to figure out how it's going to work. Just figure out how I'm going to get it in the window. Just figure out how I'm hanging the red cord. Just figure out how God is going to do it if I obey what he has done. We try to sit there and analyze everything and try to figure it out and then supplement what God is trying to do because we feel God needs some help.
Right.
God needs no help. Today, I believe God has promised some people in this audience something in your life. And what you need to do is go ahead and claim it and believe it. If it doesn't work out tomorrow, then get up Tuesday looking for the miracle. If it doesn't work out Tuesday, get up Wednesday and say today is the day. If it doesn't work next week, then believe next week is the week that it's going to work. Because if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I'm going to hang the red cord in the window without trying to figure out what if they don't see it? What if it's not big enough? What if it's not long enough? God said just put the cord in the window and don't worry about the battle that's going on. The walls of the city might be collapsing around you and everyone else is in a trouble and everyone else has lost their home, but God can protect you. God can keep you. Keep hanging the scarlet thread. Keep praying the prayers that you're praying. Keep believing that God is true and God is able and God will do it.
Yes. Yes.
I like to go back to the book of Job. Because Job had some friends who were not truly friends.
They did.
And at the first sign of trouble, they were quick to blame God, and they were quick to blame him, and they were quick to blame everything else. I think sometimes we need to realize trouble in our lives is not necessarily you've done something wrong. Perhaps it's just a call to draw closer to God, or perhaps it is just life.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I don't believe that Christians are immune from flat tires.
Yes, sir.
They're not immune from car trouble.
No, sir.
Brother Braden's waving his hand. We've all been there and done that.
That's right.
Every now and then you have to park a car that doesn't work and walk. You ever notice how all that stuff goes wrong at the worst time? The most inopportune time.
That's right.
That's not a reason to blame God and quit. That's just simply a time to step back and say, God, if you're trying to teach me a lesson I'm willing to learn, or if it's just life, then I'm willing to accept it, because we're all living life, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. Conversely, some good things happen to bad people.
That's right.
The Word talks about the rain falls on just and the unjust.
That's it.
Amen.
Right.
If you're in a drought, chances are everything around you is in a drought. That doesn't necessarily mean God is punishing everybody. It's just one of those things. But trouble started in our text after the greatest victory. Now keep this name, Achan, in mind, because I'm going to drive a point home before we get through with this sermon. I want you to remember this. Achan, on his own, decided that he would take a garment, he would take some silver, and he would take some gold from the city. And the clear instructions from God and the man of God was, leave everything alone.
Right.
Don't take anything. We're not taking cattle. We're not taking sheep. We're not taking possessions. We're not taking the silver and the gold and putting it in the treasure. We're destroying everything. Don't take anything for yourself.
Right.
Don't take anything for yourself. But Achan decided on his own that he would do that. And because of that, his actions would be discovered later. God has a way of revealing things.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And we should never take it on ourselves to help God out. If somebody is doing something they should not, and don't misunderstand me, I am not trying to gloss over bad behavior or stuff that is not right. I'm not doing that at all. But God does not need us to help him. It will be revealed in its own time. You can fool people.
Yep.
Amen. You can fool leaders, but you can't fool God.
Right. That's right.
You ever seen somebody and you thought, well, God, you're just letting them get away with it. They're not getting away with it. God does it in his own time. Achan was not immediately destroyed. I believe that Achan probably took the stuff back to his tent. He hid it, and after a day or two probably figured, hey, I got away with it. After all, it's here. I'm still here. No one's come into the tent. No one has come in blaming me. Hey, we're good. We won the victory. I got a little something on the side. It's hit. Everything is good. It's all going to work out great.
Right.
But be not deceived.
That's it.
God's word is true, and God always, always, always works things out the way he said it would work.
Right.
So after Jericho, next up was Ai. And notice they took the familiar steps that they took against Jericho, and they followed them with Ai. Joshua sent men to Ai to spy out the country. The men went up and spied on Ai. They returned to Joshua, and they told him, there's no need to send everyone against this place. It is small. There's not very many of them. What we need to do is just leave some at the house, send 2,000 or 3,000. That's going to be more than enough. We're going to be all right. Amen.
Right.
But the word of God was, send everybody.
Right.
Overwhelm them with force. Yet Joshua gives in to some advice. Maybe he's thinking everything is going to be fine. And so they sent 2,000 or 3,000 to Ai. And because they sent these, 36, the Bible says, were killed. And notice the wording here. The hearts of the people melted and became like water. It is amazing what 24 or 48 hours will do to your attitude.
Right.
Yep. Amen. They went from the highest high to the lowest low in a matter of hours. because God said, do it this way. They decided something else was better, and they went away from the will of God and the Word of God. Imagine the turnaround. We have just celebrated the greatest victory perhaps in mankind. Everything is going good. How can it get any better? And here comes AI. We will overwhelm them. This is no problem at all. And they roll up into AI and they come home like a stray dog with his tail between his legs. They were soundly defeated by an inferior force. All of a sudden, instead of being invincible, they have crashed back to reality and they're realizing something went wrong. And notice this, Joshua fell on his face, and I believe this is in a lot of our lives. He cried out to the Lord and he prayed a why prayer. That's what I'm going to call it. And the Lord quickly ran out of patience. Why were we defeated? Why did these people do this? Why did it happen? And God said, amen, get up. Enough of the pity party. Praise God. Why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Period. End of conversation. Quit with the why. Quit with the pity party. Get up and straighten some things out. I have carefully considered how to present this next part. So I'm going to try this way and we'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll rewind the tape and try to say take two. Notice as far as we know from the biblical account, only one man disobeyed. Is that fair? Achan. Yet God tells Joshua the people will suffer. I've heard this preached in this pulpit before and several other places. I think the biggest misconception is my actions only affect me.
Right?
You ever heard somebody say, hey, I can go out and drink, live a life like I want to, be a drug addict, be this, that. After all, the only life I'm affecting is me. That is a misconception and a lie from Satan. Because everything that we do affects someone else. Amen. You don't believe it? Go out to a pond on a very calm day and toss a rock in. The ripple from that little rock will go all the way across to another bank and spread out completely over the water. Because as you throw that out, it creates momentum. And that just washes out. The ripples go out. So what God is doing is, I believe, Brother Hillstead, he is setting some groundwork and some ground rules in order that later on they will look back at Ai and Jericho and realize we need to remember what we did and we need to remember how God responded to that because we are all one. Amen. That is why we need to be careful what we do and how we conduct things. Because at the end of the day, and again, this is either, you can look at it as right, wrong, or indifferent, but when a Christian minister from any denomination, any label you want to put on them, when he messes up, we all suffer.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing how big the title or the umbrella, evangelical, right? Charismatic. That's a very broad brush. And instead of rejoicing because another man failed, we need to look at it as, hey man, we're all going to have to do damage control. And in a church, I believe that in a church, you cannot just let certain things go and certain things happen because it's going to affect the whole congregation.
Right.
So Joshua sent for Achan and asked him, he said, confess the wrong that you committed. He confessed. The men were sent to his tent. They recovered the stolen items. They were then offered back to the Lord. And as a result of the wrong he had done, Achan was stoned to death by the people. Possessions were burned with fire, and order was restored after repentance and restitution had taken place. Without true repentance and without restitution, you are wasting your time thinking you're coming back to God.
Right.
Because it will be a vicious cycle of repentance and doing it again, repentance, doing it again, because true repentance is not, I'm sorry I got caught, or I'm sorry I'm in this moment, but that I am changing my life and moving a different direction. Modern Christianity has destroyed true repentance by saying all you've got to do is repeat some words that a minister tells you and you're good to go. You can still live any way you want to do. You can still do this, still do that, because their method of salvation, it takes away the peace of transformation. And without transformation, nothing happens. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I will read these. It informs us of what happened next. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given your hand to the king of Ai. I have given to your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. And you shall do to Ai and its kings, or king, as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. And the city was taken and burned with fire. 12,000 men and women was the final death toll. The king of Ai was hanged from a tree until he died. And Ai take two was successful, and the people were able to continue their conquest of the land after the second attempt at Ai. So God often engineers defeat before he can engineer victory, because sometimes success comes through the back door of failure. Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Psalms 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And we have to get to the point where we can say with the psalmist, God, your word and obeying you is more important than anything else in my life.
Amen.
We have heard in 2024 from this pulpit time after time, submission. We have heard time and time again, dedication. We have heard time and time again, I believe God is trying to tell us something. Once we get right and where God wants us, there is no force that can stand against us. Jericho cannot stand against you. Ai cannot stand against you. As long as you are doing what God has called you to do and doing it the way God has called you to do it, we are guaranteed success. However, if we stray off of that path, or we start thinking it's all about us, then God will quickly correct us and send us back to the right direction. I believe in chapter 8, we see the grace of God and the truth of restoration, because defeats never have to be the end. They may in fact be the beginning if we will just respond to the grace of God as a loving and caring heavenly Father who wants to produce in us something good called spiritual growth and spiritual maturity and Christ-like changes in our lives. This doesn't minimize the consequences of sin, however, because in the Ai incident, God's name had been dishonored, people had lost their lives, and a family died the sin of death, physical and spiritual. The momentum that Israel had gained after Jericho was temporarily lost, and God's people were filled with gloom and despair, and that is not the will of God. The will of God was Jericho, roll straight into Ai, and then keep the momentum going. I have said before, momentum is the hardest thing in the world to maintain.
There.
Once you get to the top of the mountain, it's hard to stay there. Amen. Because your enemy's sniping at you, and people you thought were your friends are sniping at you. So the story of Ai is a message of strong warning. It reminds us that sin cannot be tolerated in the Christian life, and it hinders the blessings of God from the standpoint of productive Christian living. Sin grieves and quenches the Spirit. But the story of Ai is also a proclamation of hope, because it reminds us that blessing and productivity can come when sin is confessed and dealt with. God always offers us a pathway back. So here are the lessons we can learn from the book of Joshua and the battle with Ai. Number one, don't make the same mistake twice.
That's true.
Word of God to Joshua was to use all the fighting men of Israel. And though the primary cause of the defeat at Ai was the sin of Achan, a secondary cause was underestimating the enemy. Do not ever think you can fight the enemy of your soul with a lackadaisical attitude of prayer and personal devotion. It will not work. Your enemy is stronger than that. We have got to make sure that our personal devotion is up to the level it needs to be. We need to make sure we're praying, we're reading God's Word, we're studying God's Word, and we are committed to winning the battle. Amen. And the people also presumed that the Lord would be with them regardless of whether they obeyed or not. Number two, turn the place of defeat into a place of victory. Because notice what happens here. Joshua is told again to go up and attack Ai. He is to return to the place of the defeat. And now, because Joshua and the people are rightly aligned with the Lord, God promised, when you go this time, you will win. When you fight them this time, it's going to be a different result, because we serve a God who can turn defeat into a place of victory. The choice is ours. Am I going to live in this defeat, or am I going to humble myself and repent and return back to God and say, God, I want to turn this into a place of victory. I don't want to live a defeated life. I am willing to do what it takes to turn that around. Number three, the basis of victory is always the same, because the words, just as with Jericho, reminds us that victory at Ai would not be only be as complete as that at Jericho, but as with Jericho, it would come by the power of God regardless of the strategy used. Notice, Ai, they did not march around the city. They did not blow trumpets. They did not march behind the Ark of the Covenant. They did not display a strength, but they used a different tactic, and it was more traditional warfare, but the result was exactly the same. God can use different methods to accomplish the same thing, with us or without us. But if I want to be part of the plan of God, I've got to realize if God changes the plan, I change the plan with Him. My God. And I keep going in the direction He is leading, instead of saying, wait a minute, we did it that way and we're successful. Let's try it that way again. God might be saying, I want to turn it around from another direction. Don't question God. Just follow God and the people of God. And God has already figured out the victory. We just have to follow His instructions.
Right.
I told you to remember Achan. Number four, the spoils of victory promised and the irony of the blessings of God. Joshua was told that the spoils of Ai and its livestock could now be taken by Israel. As the first fruits of the land, Jericho had been placed under the ban, but this was not the case with Ai. Here's a case of the irony. The dissatisfaction of Achan, along with his lack of patience and trust in the Lord for his needs, caused him to miss precisely what he longed for. If Achan had just waited. It's easy to take matters into our own hands and get ahead of God. But the path of obedience and faith is always the best. All Achan had to do was wait for one more battle. Brother Hillstead, he could have had the garments, the silver, and the gold. But he got ahead of God, and he got ahead of the man of God, and he said, I'm going to do this because this is what I need or I want, or whatever his perception was that he used to justify his actions. He got ahead of the plan of God, and he missed exactly what he would have gotten. Number five is change in strategies, because the strategy used with Ai differed entirely from that employed at Jericho. This is highly instructive for us in ministry, in spiritual battles, or in the way that God leads us. The Israelites did not march around the walls of Ai seven times, and the walls didn't immediately fall down like they did at Jericho. But Israel was directed by God to conquer the city through normal combat. Don't worry about if Ai's victory doesn't look the same as Jericho. I'm here to submit to you, victory is victory.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Whether you win by 1 or 100, it goes down as a W in the win-loss column.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I almost said 10 years from now. A year from now, you won't remember what the score was. All you'll remember is the victory. But we have a habit of wanting to run up the score. We want it to be all about us. The me monster gets involved. What we need to do is realize if God has given us a victory, it doesn't matter how small or how big it might appear to me. Victory is victory. I will submit to you that being free from an addiction is being free. It doesn't matter how free you think you might be. Free is free is free. At least you're not locked up anymore. When you leave the jailhouse and somebody opens the door and says you're free to go, it's the end of your sentence or you have been forgiven. Walk out the door and quit worrying about how big it is or how big that was or what it's somebody. Just walk out the door into freedom. Amen. You ever seen somebody freed? I think they have reality shows of these people that were accused. They were sentenced falsely. They were bad evidence set up, whatever the deal was. And they have served 20 years of a sentence, and all of a sudden they are set free. I've never seen one of those folks ask, can I go back?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I've never seen one of those folks say, wait a minute, I got some stuff in there I need to bring with me. Buddy, you can have the TV, you can have the books, you can have the painting. I'm gone. Praise God. We need to quit looking back and thinking, look what I left behind, and start looking at our future and say, look what's ahead of me. Don't live in the past. We need to live in the future. We need to step into the new life God has given us and quit looking back and saying, but I had this and I had that. No, look ahead of you. You are out of bondage and walking into freedom. You have been released from the jail cell, and now you are going home with your family. Quit looking at the back. Quit looking backwards in the rearview mirror and walk into the freedom that God has given you.
Amen.
Musicians, if you'll come, let me leave you with this principle. We should not expect God to work the same way or lead us always the same way. I believe we need to be open and we need to be sensitive to the various ways God might lead us. As the sovereign God of the universe, He's never limited to one method to accomplish His purposes or His promises or His goals or His leading or His future that He has for you. God can do it any way He wants to do. And just because it's not the way we would have done it does not make it any more or less real. I believe we've probably all prayed prayers and already had it figured out before God answered. But what if God wants to answer it a different way? Then I need to be willing to accept that. I believe our commitment today should be like this: where He leads me, I will follow. Whether I understand it or not, that's what I'm going to do. Whether someone else approves of it or not, I am going to follow what God has told me to do. We live in a world of experts. If you don't believe me, go to social media today and ask a question, how do I do this? Somebody who's never done it before will give you advice. I learned a long time ago, free advice is worth exactly what you pay for. Last night we were talking about rebuilding and restoring cars. Brother Seville and I showed our age. Because not only did we know the year models, we knew the engine sizes and the transmissions and the tires. And as we grew up in the 70s, remember all that. When it comes time to restore an automobile, you don't take it to just anybody. You take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. And not only that, you take it to somebody where you can see the work that they have done. Don't tell me how good you are, show me how good you are. Today, we need to realize that God is everything He says He is. And I don't need anyone else to supplement God. If God says go, I'm going. If God says stay, I'm going to stay. If God says go this way instead of that way, I'm going to trust the voice of God, because God does not make errors and God does not make mistakes, and God has the record to prove it. You can count on God. We place our faith in so many things today, and then we say we can't trust God. God has never failed. God has never lied. God has never tried to figure out what was going on. When we talk about the attributes of God, if we really discuss and think about and study those attributes, it is amazing how great God is. God is not like us. He does not learn. He already knows. That's an important point there. God is not building His knowledge. He has all knowledge. If He has all knowledge, God is not learning. God is explaining. God is not trying to figure out what is wrong in your body. God created your body. God already knows everything about the human body. God knows it more intimately than any of us ever will. We can just put our trust in Him that, God, I believe You can do this. I believe You can answer. I believe You can move. If you are wondering, what do I do in my life? What direction should I take? Should my career path be? It's all right to ask people. It's all right to do some research. But at the end of the day, somewhere in there, God needs to be in there. And you need to ask God, what do I need to do? Which direction do I need to go? What is Your will for my life? And then when God gives you that answer, don't worry when someone tells you, I've got some advice for you. Be kind, listen, but then go back to what God has told you. Because God cannot lie. God cannot mislead you. God cannot be wrong. He is always right. Let's stand together. So whatever God has for me in my life, the decision I may need to make today is, God, I am going to follow that. I am not going to ask questions. I am not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to analyze it. What I'm going to do is, if You told me to do that, God, I'm going to do it. And God, if You have placed something in my heart, that's what I am going to do. God, I believe that You've got everything under control. If you got something in your life that you're going through today, perhaps you don't understand, or maybe you need direction, I would invite you to the front today. I believe that God can clear up your vision. I believe that God can show you which direction to go. While the praise team prepares, Could we all come to the front today? If you have a special need, doesn't matter what the need is, God is going to meet that. Brother Travaris received a text during service, someone with a special need. We're going to pray for that. If you have a